You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, welcome everybody. Thanks for showing up, because we got a pretty full house here. My name is David Hart. As Stephanie said, I work at Stanford University out in the Bay Area, Palo Alto, California, just 40 miles south of San Francisco. So I'm sure you're familiar with some of the region. And I work in the School of Humanities and Sciences. On another slide here, I'll just discuss a little bit about where I'm placed in the university, just to give you some context around the project I'm going to talk about, because it's a little bit different than some of your institutions might be, being that it's at Stanford and a larger university than a small college. And I want to make a couple qualifications about this slide deck I put together to guide us through. One of them is that it might sort of look like a PowerPoint or keynote thing, but I actually did this in Google Docs. They have their Google Apps Docs application has a presentation tool in it, and I thought I'd sort of try to be on the cutting edge a little bit. I use their tools extensively, but I hadn't really used the presentation tool much, so it should work fine. But we are actually seeing this, live on the internet. I have it posted there, and the URL I'll give you at the end of the session, so you can immediately go there and have that. And they're also going to post it on the High Ed website later today, I'm told. So assuming that, long as internet doesn't go down, and even if it does, actually, I do have a local copy sitting on my hard drive here, so we should be good. I'm also going to attempt to use this little wireless mouse to move us forward, and hopefully the left button will just keep working. So let's get started. I'll tell you a little bit about this session. I'm going to take you basically through, there'll be a lot of information, and I'm going to go quickly, but I also don't want to give you too much and move too fast. So this is the first time I've done this presentation based on this information, so just bear with me as I calibrate how much time to spend on certain sections. But I'm basically going to take you through a project that we did in the School of Humanities and Sciences to roll out some new academic websites in our school. It was a pilot project. Everything at Stanford, nothing is like for sure, and for the rest of the next decade or 5 years, everything is pretty much just a pilot that we sort of work on. And if it sticks, it sticks. We did three academic websites on this pilot project on a single platform, and I'm going to take you through what that project was like and some of the high points and low points, and then we'll take a look at the sites, because they do center around social media and social networking. So we'll go through some of the goals and the background of the project and why we chose to do it in this fashion, and then I'll take you through some of the details, try not to get too detailed about it, about the project arc itself, which was quite long. It was actually over 2 years that we worked on this pilot. And then we'll take a look in the lights, camera, action section. We'll take a look at the three websites, and I'll just go to a few places so you can see some of these social community tools, on the sites and how they got laid out. We're also going to talk a little bit. I'll share with you as transparently as I can about some of the wins and losses that we found during this project, especially around the community tools aspect of it, since this is about social media. This was a fairly unique project to take on for us, certainly, and I'm assuming for a lot of you as well if you did something like this. And then we'll talk about, I brainstormed some things that maybe we all could consider and you can consider as you leave about if you were going to take on a project like this or work in social community on your academic or other department, or staff websites, and things to consider before you really go down that road. And then I'll try to save some time to mention some other solutions we're looking at Stanford, both in our central IT organization and in our School of Humanities and Sciences, just to give you an idea of some of the other open source and solutions we're looking at in these budget-constrained times right now. And then hopefully a little bit of Q&A if anybody has anything. So they're going to give me a timer at 10 minutes before the end, so we'll just kind of move through here. That's interesting. This is not supposed to happen. Oh, that's right. I have it set like this. I forgot. I did a little basic animation here, which there wasn't much, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of information. I've been working at Stanford about 2.5 years. I came into the School of Humanities and Sciences in the dean's office. So Stanford has 8 schools, School of Engineering, School of Medicine, School of Law, and we have, and this is one of them, and a few others. And our dean's office is the administration center, obviously, of this school. And we have a small ITIS team there of about five of us. And we basically manage and consult on IT and IS solutions for departments, for staff, both administrative systems and academic technology systems that might be used for faculty and departments. My main charge when I was brought aboard was to head up some projects that were going on the website of things for departments, faculty and staff needs in departments. So we've done some calendaring projects that were custom. We decided to do this website development pilot. When I was brought in, this had already been started, so I came into a project that hadn't launched yet, but all the seeds had been planted and the vendors were being chosen, were just about to be chosen. So I came in and met the prospective vendors and then managed the project from there for the last 2.5 years. So I first came to Hi-Ed Web last October, a year ago, and as I was sitting in all the sessions and hearing about CMSs and some social community things, we were just about to start launching these three websites. We're not nearly, you know, ready to talk about them, but I thought maybe in a year, if I'm comfortable and the sites have gone up, this could be an interesting topic, you know, to share so that people can see what we've done. So I submitted a proposal and here we are. And hopefully you've come to this session, you know, you may get different things out of it. I hope you get something out of it. Maybe you're looking at a web effort that you need to do that's involving social media, social networking. Do you do a custom solution or something off the shelf or a hosted, you know, sort of free solution like WordPress or something? And you're just looking for ways to connect your audiences up. This is hopefully going to give you a little bit of an idea of one possible way to go. And just some things to consider. And regardless of how you feel about it, all this, I'd say do it anyway. You know, I mean, sometimes you have to tackle things and just take them on. And we did this pilot project sort of stepping off a cliff a little bit and with a little bit of fear. So, and here we are. So a little bit of organizational structure about the way this kind of a project would work at Stanford. I work up in the upper left School of H&S. Over in the upper right is our central IT organization at Stanford, which doesn't really mandate a lot of things. Stanford is a highly decentralized campus. And some of you probably come from places like this that are larger. Even though we have, you know, under 10,000 undergraduates, it's actually a kind of a smaller campus, but it's very decentralized. So schools can do anything they want. Departments within our school, which you have 80 of them, 80 departments and programs, are completely on their own about what they want to do with web, with technical solutions. So my team's job is to basically consult with them, help them arrive at the best solutions. And on occasion, we fund a project because we feel it's important to the school or Stanford as a whole. And that's what we did with this project that we're going to talk about, is that our dean's office funded this for three departments, and I'll talk about them. And then, so the departments were involved in this, and then also we had our vendor and partners that might get involved in a project. So those are usually sort of the four players of something this scope. So there's a lot of moving parts. There was, you know, teams in each corner here and a lot of coordination and not without its challenges. And there's some few numbers down below about some of the Stanford stats I thought you might find interesting. Okay, so why we did this. Basically, occasionally a department will come to the dean's office and our head dean and the executive dean and say, we really need a new website. I mean, everybody's saying that right now. But they have a real compelling reason that they feel would be good for the school. And through, you know, political discussions and consensus building, a decision is made, obviously higher up than me, about funding a project. And that's what we did with this. At the same time that the Department of Philosophy had come into the dean's office and talked about a brand new website idea, two other departments had expressed interest in something sort of similar. They also didn't have the budget, and they'd had really bad success with their previous websites over time, you know, maintaining them, and they were pretty static. And so a decision was made to lump these three requestors into one project. But the main one was the Department of Philosophy, and we'll talk about them when we get to their site. Their primary interest in doing a new website, I mean, besides having a nice new website, was community. They really wanted to showcase their discussions on the web, their research groups, and develop a sense of community both at Stanford and outside the Stanford walls on their website. The Department of Art and Art History was not really that interested in the social web and the social media sense, but they were definitely interested in showcasing all their works in their department. Our art department has film and media, art practice, art design, and art history, a lot of concentrations, and they wanted to showcase all this very actively on their site. And they also had a need for events. All these departments wanted to have some kind of event calendar in place. And then the Center for Ethics and Society is a very small little program that we decided to fund for a new website because they do a lot of external outreach into the community. They hold weekly events on campus on ethics and on food and law and justice and different things, and they do a lot of event work, and we thought that they would be sort of a good partner in this. So it was an interesting decision that it was made before I came aboard to be working simultaneously with three distinctly unique departments with, in some ways, very different interests in why they wanted a new website. And that presented some challenges, as you'll see. But the main, I think, message in all of them is they all wanted to sort of bring some people together and showcase some things and show others what they were doing and create a community, even if they didn't understand the tools. So this is also another reason that the art department came to us for some funding. This was their site for apparently the last 5 years. They called this the Bad Gray site. And the department manager said before the Bad Gray site, there was the Bad Pink site. So they have something that looks nothing like this site now, but I just wanted to show you an example. And of course, we're all used to seeing academic websites. There's a whole plethora of them out there on the web, including many at Stanford. This was philosophy here, which occasionally some photo would be chosen by the web admin to be put on the homepage. Like, who is this person, you know? And if you saw the talk today at lunch, it was girls under trees. This was guy above campus, you know? So anyway, okay, so these are some ideal things that we wanted to work into the platform here, and I tried to list these as sort of simple bullet points. And on the left are things that we've always had and we all know and don't really love. And you know, on the right was the goal to get to them. So instead of a stale site, all these sites that they were coming from were very static HTML, just simple Dreamweaver sites. They wanted very fresh-looking sites so that every time you hit the page or went to the site, it looked different and it showed something about that group or that department. Very dynamic sites as opposed to static. All the sites that they had were only public sites. Anybody could go and see the same thing. The goal here in the school was to have public and private versions of the site, let's say. Not that the whole site would change, but a private experience for both Stanford, mainly for the Stanford community using our own logins, but also in the case of philosophy for those outside of Stanford to have a logged-in experience. And we're still working toward that one, which I'll comment on a little bit later. Also, instead of just having sort of one or two admins in a department that knew Dreamweaver or Contribute and occasionally, you know, checked a link or updated an event or that picture of the guy above the Stanford campus, there would be many contributors in a very decentralized web management system in the department so that the art department, which has like 11 staff, they all are admins on the website and they all have areas they're responsible for and all they do is log in, go into the back-end CMS, use a WYSIWYG tool and update everything, whether they want to add an event or monitor a blog or whatever. So that was definitely a big goal of this, was to move outside of that one admin thing and also move away from, you know, the standard sort of Dreamweaver Contribute type approach and work with a true CMS that was WYSIWYG that didn't require, supposedly, any knowledge of HTML, although I've learned you never really can say that and be speaking the truth. I've had department people say, I thought we didn't have to know any HTML. And then a unified platform with single sign-on. So because this was going to have a private and a logged-in experience where users would have a dashboard and post blogs, set up groups and discussions, which we'll talk about, we wanted to have a single sign-on using our existing Stanford, what's called SUNET, that all of you probably have at your universities, and have it. And so they didn't have to have a separate login to manage. Just it would be a unified login experience. So these are then some of the, you know, top six or seven sort of social community tools that were really driven again by the Department of Philosophy and then our office. If we were going to do this, these are the things that we felt would be useful on an academic website. It was really hard to find a lot of examples of this that were built into websites as a unified approach. Now, this was 3 years ago when this list was put together and the project was germinating. So it's been a while. There was not, I mean, Twitter had just barely launched. Facebook had just moved to Palo Alto down the street from us, but wasn't really huge yet like it is now. So we thought we got to build something here to include all these items, blogs and discussion groups, papers and works, again, showcasing the faculty and the graduate students' efforts, events, having a calendar, both public for the to showcase public events, and then department-only events that are hidden from public view, showcase news, people and profiles. Self-managed profiles was a huge thing, because previous to this, as you all well know, somebody has to manage all the faculty profiles in a department, usually a one or two web admins, and it becomes very difficult and things get really outdated. And this allows people and puts the responsibility on the individuals that want to participate in the site, and hopefully they all will, faculty and students, and manage their own profiles. And then also to have groups, research groups, PR, you know, for PR, and I'm going to talk a little bit about groups when we get to it, but basically the business rules around groups, got pretty complicated because we wanted public groups. So you could have a research group that would showcase your work and have everything about the group be completely public to the public that would come to the website. We also wanted to have a private group. So in a department, they could have an admin group that would be private and share photos and a calendar and staff discussions, but have the public not even know about that. But then we wanted to have a middle group that was semi-private, something in between where you could showcase maybe the title and what the group was about, but not the activities going on. This was sort of a PR approach. And also messaging, much like what you see on Facebook. Some kind of, if you're gonna have all this social kind of community going on, you have to basically have, obviously, internal messaging. It's not enough just to rely on external email. We do tie this into external email because any messages that you get on the website, you have a checkbox in your profile and you can choose to have those emailed to you, much like, again, on Facebook. So these were sort of the tenets that we came up with the department's help. And only the Department of Philosophy of those three website groups I explained were interested in all of these. So the other two departments had no interest in almost half of them. But they were going to come along for the ride and see how they did and such. And of course, there wasn't a lot of buy-in for some of these things. I mean, the art department said, we're not going to blog. We don't want people commenting on our artwork. Why are we, you know, that's not appropriate, you know. So we had to turn off different features. And this is where this project got really complicated, which was one of the downsides of combining these groups. But, you know, essentially we were looking to put together a big template of things, and each site would be unique, but they'd all sort of share these tools and have access to them if they wanted it. And, of course, you know, if we did this pilot project, you know, would anybody really show up? I mean, and we're still sort of waiting for an answer to that one. But so this was the name of the platform, the Community Services Platform, CSP. This was something we developed in partnership with our vendor solution set in Palo Alto. And they worked really hard with us for a long time and went through some changes themselves in their company. So they essentially directed the project. We funded it with them. And I essentially managed with our departments and my office and my team, did some oversight there. And then we depended on Stanford's IT organization for the back-end, all the server sort of back-end support. We had to obviously put in four or five servers and load balancers and backup systems and all that. And then the department stakeholders, of course, are the ultimate end user here. So that gives you sort of a little bit of a tree of how this project was done. So don't worry about all the details. I put a lot of stuff up here just to sort of, for when you go over and review this later, if you even care to, sort of what was on here to give you a timeline. But we basically, I don't want to give you an idea of the arc of this project, because that's a big part of the story is how long something like this took because we customized it. So we started in 06. I came aboard in the spring of 07, and we were just at the point, as I had said, choosing a vendor. So in the spring of 07, we basically narrowed it down to this company called Solution Set. And we had gone through many consensus meetings in all the departments in our dean's office to arrive at that, obviously, and try to pick the vendor that had the most promise for the social tools. So the other vendors that we saw didn't show enough confidence around developing a solution for us that included all those social tools. And Solution Set did in their community platform. So we went through, we kicked off in June of 07. And at that time, the projected time of launch of these three very complex websites was somehow November or December of that year. Now, that may sound already like a long time. You know, maybe some project, you know, you think 5-6 months, that's, well, you know, it of course wasn't. And so as we went along, the dates pushed out. But we went through basically about 4 months of scoping the project out with the vendor, met with all the departments, defined the requirements, looked at the current sites, came up with the sitemap hierarchies and the wireframes. If you've been through a project such as this, you know, you're familiar with some of this sort of development phase that goes on in a project. We hit that point probably in about December of 07, where everything really had kind of been done and approved, and the developer was working and developing, and everybody had chosen their site designs, and we're very excited. And then things started to sort of slow down a little bit. The thing at the bottom here is that these business rules that we had come up with were I won't say they were simple to start with, but they were supposedly going to be pretty much the same across the departments. But once we sat down and really had the meetings with all the departments, it became clear that that was really not going to work. And again, we really can't mandate things where we are. So if you're in a situation similar to this, you know how it is. You have to basically build consensus and buy-in and meet with people. And our dean's office couldn't say to all three departments, you have to have all these features. You know, that's just the way your website's going to be. It was not going to fly. It's an ironic thing, actually, because we're funding, you know, the development of this. But this is you know, the sort of the fine line you have to walk when you're doing something like this. So some of our business rules became highly complex, especially around groups and some of the other features, which I'll show you. And they definitely had a large impact on later development cycles. So my advice at this point in the project, you know, and I felt this at the time, was that you really need to be really clear up front what you're looking to do with something like this, especially around the social community tools, because there's a lot of interactivity that can happen when you're trying to lay out all those different applications I mentioned, blogs, news, events, profiles, and all that. So it definitely had a big impact on us as we went along. So then we had a few months of delays for a number of reasons, both because of the scope creep that we went through, which was, you know, our fault to blame for that, and just sort of, you know, continually building out what we wanted to do with this with the departments. And also the developer had some challenges. Unfortunately, we didn't really, we thought that their platform was a little bit further along, that they had overpromised what it was able to do. And so a few of those community tools were not quite finished when we thought the sites would be ready. And so they had to do more work. And of course, because we'd asked for some customization, that took even longer. So this is not really to point fingers or blame. This is all part of any project, as you know. You know, a number of factors can weigh in. And it's a delicate situation when you have a firm that you've hired, and we were spending a lot of money per hour with them. This was not an inexpensive, even the first contract was with them before the scope change, was not an inexpensive venture. But we, you know, it was important that we keep going here. So we kept working. But we did have a number of months of delays, and it became evident in the spring of 08 that we were not going to even launch until the next academic year. And I had to essentially make that call and say, we're not going to get this done. And, you know, the departments at that point were quite frustrated that, you know, especially like the Ethics and Society group, they just wanted a new website. All they wanted was a flat, splashy new website with all their events on it. They could care less about all the other things. Why don't we have a website? You know, it's been a year now. And, you know, that justifiably, you know, frustrated over that. So, but, you know, again, this was a pilot. Everybody knew going in it was funded. So everybody stuck with it. And we also chose something I just wanted to mention real quick that may come up if you decide to do something that's community-based. And that's the type of login technology we wanted to go with. I'm not going to talk about the technical piece of it, but we have standard WebAuth, which is an LDAP-based login at Stanford for our community. But there's another technology out there that's being adopted here and there called Shibboleth. And Shibboleth is basically a single sign-on login that's similar to WebAuth, but it allows other trusted institutions, MIT, places that belong to this federation of trusted institutions and use Shibboleth, to log in to partner websites using their home credentials. And the idea with this was that, especially with Department of Philosophy, that with all these community tools and blogging, that faculty and graduate students and whoever from another trusted institution could eventually come to their site and log in and be part of the logged-in experience, even though they have credentials from another institution. In order to be able to do that and go outside the walls of Stanford securely and safely, we had to develop, sort of buy into this Shibboleth integration, which we have some expertise in our ITS organization, but we were guinea pigs on this. This was the first project at Stanford and the whole campus to do this Shibboleth. It was being done internally in a few places to test it, but not in a public site. That took a number of weeks and months, actually, to get this right. with our developer firm and the ITS organization. So we finally got it done, and it works. The problem is now we got to go out and really open it up to these other institutions, and that hasn't happened yet for a number of reasons, which is fine. I mean, we weren't really expecting to use that till probably 2010 or so. So in August of 08, so about 14 months ago, we got to a point where we said, we have to make a decision here when we're going to launch these sites. There's still more work to do. They have to be cleaned up further. Are we gonna let this go and just say it was a great pilot, but we can't go further and everybody's on their own to go find out what they want to do? Or do we want to, you know, really get these things out? And it was decided that we'd gone far enough, we should get these things out. Obviously, we'd spent a good bit of money, too. So the decision was made to try to release a couple in the fall quarter of 08 and maybe winter for the last site at the latest. So that was sort of our final goal there last August. We did make that, by the way, which I'll explain in a moment. So since the last site launched this last spring, we've been doing continual bug fixing and tweaking and cleaning up of different things that weren't that important for launch for a number of months. And we finally, I use the word done very delicately, last month for me, it felt like we were what you might call done. Not when the site's launched, which is would have been a nice thing. There was a certain amount of relief with that. But the project itself, and I think the arc of it for me, felt done last month. But I qualify that with this statement that I've always loved. I used to work in the film business, and something that Da Vinci and apparently the filmmaker George Lucas said, that films and works of art are never really completed. They're just abandoned. And that's basically what kind of had to happen. I mean, with the economy changing last fall, we got through the project. You know, the spring came, then over the summer we kept working on a few things, but at some point it's like we just got to walk away. We're done. You know, I mean, the sites are fine, and it's time to move on. And so, you know, they're doing good and they look good, but you know, you never really feel like you're completely done, right? Web projects are very organic and they go on a long time, but I consider them at this point to be mostly done. So these are the URLs here. Again, you'll be getting access to this, but we can quickly take a look at the sites before we go on to some other things. And I'm just going to sit here so I can drive a little bit easier. So you can take a look. So we launched the first site last September, which was a drop dead date. They had to have that up because of the new academic year starting. And art, we got launched in just after High Ed Web last year. A couple weeks after I got back, we got that up. And then March was philosophy. Philosophy, ironically, if you remember, that was the department that really wanted all these community tools and had the biggest need for all this. Their site took the longest in the end. They had very complex business rules and a lot of content to get ready, and a lot of changes they made to their site in the 11th hour. And so we were not able to launch them until March, a full 2 years after we signed with the vendor solution set. So you know, it was definitely a long project here. So this is basically the art site here. This is now live here. So you remember what you saw before of the bad gray background. This is obviously a lot more interesting. And every time you refresh this page, you get a different image. And these images are credited here based on the concentration in the department. So as somebody visits the site, they continually see basically works of art from the department. So the whole site background is based on works. Right now they only have 4 images up. They're actually updating things for the new year, for the new academic year, and eventually they're going to have, you know, a dozen or 15 images that'll rotate. But right now we've got art history. That's the image they've got right now. And art practice. And some of these, again, are faculty, and some of them aren't, and they're always credited. And this is just a theme switcher. So the vendor came up with this interesting thing where you could do a theme switcher just to change the theme of the site. But basically, whenever you refresh the page, let me just hit F5 here. Whenever you refresh the page, you basically get a different, you'll get a different theme. So that's that dynamic, fresh content. Then we have our login up here and some other tools to get into the site. And, you know, pages here. Now, once you get into the site, then you basically get to stay with those 4 themes, continually rotate as you click around the site. So we won't spend a lot of time on this, but I wanted you to see sort of a very interesting design that the vendor and the department came up with here to do. And these backgrounds essentially match. And they even did a thing where if you're in your browser and you resize the page, this background image on the right will minimize and change and expand and grow with your web page. So no matter what kind of monitor you're on or what size browser resolution you're running, you get a nice full image in the back there, which was nice. And so as you move around into the site here, basically their navigation that they chose, they moved some of their community tools and community stuff in different places. Each department had a different idea of what they wanted to do. So the art department chose to put some things under people, just as a main heading, and they have events under news and events, and they have a few other things hidden in a few other areas. Rather than having one sort of general community area where all that stuff is, they moved it around. So on all the people pages, again, these are self-managed profiles. So once people log in and fill out their stuff, they show up in these dynamically refreshing tables, and we have faculty, undergraduates, graduate staff. We have 5 or 6 categories on each site. So that people can go there immediately and find, you know, and they can also search and go to another page. And once you click on someone, you get into their, you know, you get into their profile page. And let's just click on this real quick. So we get into Kevin Bean's overview page, which is taking a moment to draw because of the speed here, I guess. But anyway, so depending on how much information that the faculty member has provided, that information is then shown to whoever's looking in it, and it's very nice. Then they have a news and events page in the art department here. Again, so the way that these events work is that the event person who's on their staff, who's a web admin, can go into the back-end CMS and enter events in. And they all show up in here for the next 30 days, basically. And then you can search, you can see what days have events, and you can go to another month, and you can look ahead to November. Or you can search on a particular month from last year, and we're inputting events from the last 2 or 3 years in so that eventually this becomes an archive of the department's events, but you can see what's coming up. And with all of these, with all of our dynamic content, it all has some community sort of functions based around it that a lot of us are used to now. So you can share any event, which is sharing the page. It automatically brings up an email form that you can email out to anyone to share the page or the event. You can also export to the iCal format, which just basically produces a .ics file that a user could bring into their, you know, their calendar or Google Calendar or whatever. So we did that in a lot of the cases with all these things. You can share, you know, pages and export things out. Let me just see if there's something. One thing that we did with the Department of Art, I just want to show you real quick to showcase their artwork, is we basically worked in a product called Slideshow Pro, which is basically here that's got it. So Slideshow Pro is basically a plugin that we invested in to show images and video. And so the department really wanted to have on certain pages you showcase different works. So they can manage this. It's a separate third-party tool, and there's a plugin, a Flash plugin sort of development that had to go into getting this on the site. And with this, you know, you can do thumbnails and see this, and you can also do a full screen of any image. And it was really crucial for the department that all this stuff looked really good and that full screen images were really good quality, because they upload a lot of files that, you know, have some high pixel counts, let's say, you know, in some cases. So that was another thing that we did on the art site that was really nice. And other than that, I mean, it's just, you know, it's got a lot of static content. I'm going to click real quick here on, here's another slideshow running of some graduates from this last spring. If I go, what's that? Girl Under a Tree. There you go. Very good. That's pretty funny. On the people page, you see that we have groups and blogs. So the art department, the only things they were really interested in were groups and blogs. And to this date, and they've been launched almost a year now, in a couple weeks it'll be a year, they have one group. One group. So this is where we're learning about, you know, how important is this really to a department? How are they going to use it? Trying to help them figure out how to use it and educate their faculty and their staff to utilize this kind of a thing. Now, again, they were not initially looking for this. This is a new tool. But there is some interest with some people that have come into the department over the last 6 months. And word has it that by the winter quarter, they actually might be using some of the groups in here for classes and you know, some research groups. So we'll see. I'll talk a little bit more about that when we look at philosophy. But I just kind of wanted to show you all these pages that you know, once they have activity, there would be a number of things showing. And it's just sort of interesting to show at this point that they're really not using some of these community tools yet. They're just not really sure how they want to do that in the department. It's just part of the whole process. But it's still early, I guess. You know, we're about a year out from when they launched, and they're still getting a handle on the site. So let's look at the philosophy site real quick. This site really did a different design thing here. There was a lot of discussions around this in the department about this black background. Very, very unusual, as web stuff usually goes. And they chose some imagery here that's based on Muybridge Photography, who was affiliated with Stanford. He did a lot of interesting shots of animals and people. I won't discuss. It's too complicated to discuss about the way he did these film frames. But they chose some imagery based on his work, and they're going to be adding more. So their site is very dynamic and very heavy with lots of modules. So they've got this Meet Our Faculty module here. Changes every time you refresh the page, so that all 100 and some faculty constantly get rotated randomly in here. We also coded it up so that if they wanted to, they could put 5 specific faculty up here. This is where things got complicated. So do we want it randomly showing faculty, or do you want to list, you know? And we obviously wanted it random so that web admins would not have to go in and change it every week or something, but they also wanted the ability to be able to showcase certain people possibly. And then we have featured news, you know, upcoming events are featured here. This is all information that is put in once by a web admin that's in charge of events and news, and it shows up all over the website. So it's very handy compared to what they had. And with any of these things, you can click on them, and it takes you deeper into the site, and then you'll see, you know, a particular event. So this is now you're on an event page, and it gives you information about the event. Again, you can export and share and all that. All of our entry points into these events and blogs and groups have WYSIWYG. So you can italicize and make bold all the titles and descriptions, because this is very important, for faculty and to have the look of certain books that they publish, you know, with the italics and bolding and underlining. So we had to consider all these things in our tools that we were developing. Let's see. Let me go back to the homepage real quick. And let's go to departmental information. So if you'll notice that the nav at the top, sorry, I want to go back one more. The nav at the top, the philosophy department shows a very simple upper-level nav, just 3, community, departmental information, and my area. And my area is used basically, let me just see if I can get login to work here. It's going to, because of the slower connection. Oh, no, it may work. So this is a typical standard sort of login. It's got to go through this round trip. There we go. So now I'm logged in, David Hart. It's bringing me back to the site here. So they chose a very simple nav at the top, this community department, my area thing. And then once you hover over that, then you drill down into the site. They wanted a very sort of simple look. This is very interesting here with the with the blank slate. So we also built breadcrumbs in to their site so that every time if I go into, the graduate program, then up at the top here, you see breadcrumbs of where you are on the site. They wanted sort of that. So if I go into my area, the my area is like a dashboard, just like you might have in Facebook or something. And this is where an individual user will manage everything that they're doing on the site as a community member. So you manage your messages here, and each one has a separate page you can go to. You've got my documents, papers, blogs, groups. So this is me right now. So I have some test documents up here. I've got a couple blogs that are test blogs that I'm just showing. I've got a couple groups that I'm part of in the philosophy department and some contacts. We also have a buddy system on the system, but nobody liked the word buddy too much in education, you know, so we called it contacts. And basically, anybody that's registered on the site that has a profile, you can make them a contact of yours without permission, just to make it easier to email them or make contact with them. And then you can bookmark and set favorites and have a photo gallery. I mean, this platform, there's so many things in here, we've run out of time to show you them all, but this gives you a quick glance, and I know it's a lot, but so if I wanted to go to a particular area of mine, I could go to my blogs and look at my blog page, and then it shows my blogs here, and then I can go into those blogs and then post or make a comment, and somebody else can do the same. So all this stuff is managed under my area basically. The public that comes to the site that's not logged in is only going to see all that stuff, obviously, on the appropriate community page, and only if it's a public blog or a public group. And if you go to the groups page here on philosophy, let's see, community groups, it has a number of groups. They're actually fairly active with their groups. They've got a bunch of different teaching groups going on. Some of these are a little older from a summer quarter, too, so they're probably going to be updated soon now that the quarter is in session here. But this is an example of either public or semi-private groups. They would all show up in this module. No private groups would show up here. But once you're in a group, the groups then can have calendars, photo images, blogs that can be public or private based on the group, basically, the group definition. So it got very complex, as you can see, to make these decisions about that. But we got it all done somehow. And then the other site, just real quickly, because I only have 5 minutes, which I can't believe. This is Ethics and Society. They went with a much more conservative approach than Art and Philosophy. And they basically have a number of, they call it networking as opposed to community. They didn't really like the word social web and community thing, so they wanted a sort of a networking idea. And you can see how busy they are. They have no, I think there one group here maybe? There might be one group on the Ethics and Society site. So, yeah, there's one group here called Wesson 2009. So they have a ton of events on this site. That's mainly what they use their site for, to promote all their many events, but they're not doing much yet with the blogging and the groups. And this fact of how this is happening is because these departments, once they have these sites, they're completely on their own to do with them what they want. That was always the understanding. There was no expectation on our part funding this that you're expected to show, 50 blogs and 50 groups by next quarter. It was really, here's these tools, figure out how you want to use them. Our challenge now for the next year is how to educate them better and how to maybe come up with some ideas to better engage the students and faculty, because they can't do it on their own, obviously. But we're trying to get a reading on how much they want to use some of these things, and we don't really know the answer to that yet. Let me just go back real quick here. Sorry that this is running on. This is just a quick rundown of how many people are registered on each site, and you can see the low numbers of blogs and groups. There is a lot of papers and on each site, not a lot, but there's enough that's clearly something that they're using. But we have huge improvements to do in the groups and the blogs area. And events are many. Let me skip up just real quick. Yes, did you have a question?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Right. That's right. Well, there are expectations, and there's web admins in the department that have, of course, super access to go in and turn off inactive blogs and manage all that, and they do that. But in some cases, obviously, they're not completely up to date here, at least in that one list I showed you. So they're still learning how. It's on the honor system, It's on the honor system. A quick little list of our wins and losses here. We do feel we have the sites that we wanted. Is that zero? Negative. Okay, negative time. So you can review this later if you're interested, or talk to me after or something. We feel like we do have some losses here that came out of the project, but we're really excited that we have these sites, and we're really hoping that these academic groups get on board and start using these tools, because obviously they put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it, as all of us did on the project. So when you get to looking at this later, if you choose to go back to it, I threw up some questions and stuff after learning what I did on the process about doing a site like this, and just some of the questions you might need to ask yourself, and what kind of resources you have at your universities for doing something like this. We chose this as a custom option because, 2.5-3 years ago, there wasn't as many hosted solutions out there and complementary solutions, and we really wanted that unified department look. They didn't want to go out and have like a Facebook thing that students went out to and then some WordPress thing over here. They really wanted to see if we could tie it all into a single platform. And we're still making a decision whether we're going to roll this out to other departments. It requires some development, but we basically have everything in place to be able to do this. So maybe in the next 6 months, we might make a decision to do like the biology department or chemistry and put them on this platform. But we don't have enough information yet to make that decision. What's that? Yes, we did. We did. It was an existing CMS from this vendor that they developed in-house. They developed in-house, yeah. And we customized it with them for our purposes. Okay. Right, right. So we own it now, but we need them, you know. And thank you very much for coming. And let's, whoops.